As a CEO or entrepreneurial leader, you want to focus on overall vision, alignment, and running a great business. You want your business to run efficiently with less effort and little pain. Welcome to Operationally Speaking with Sergio Samel. Sergio and his very special guests will give you the tools to run your business well and gain the momentum to break through to the next level. Now, here is your host, Sergio Samel.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to episode number 62 of Operationally Speaking, where we exclusively focus on the art and science of operating entrepreneurial businesses. I'm Sergio Samel, your host, and I'm the principal EOS implementer, as well as Colby and predictive index specialist at Get Business Momentum, where we help owners, CEOs, and leaders of small to mid-sized entrepreneurial companies like yours get what you want out of your business by implementing a simple, well-proven and complete system for operating your company. As a result, you regain control while dramatically increasing the value of your business. In the last episode, I spent this time with Rebecca Barnes-Hogg, author of the YOLO Principle, the ultimate hiring guide for small business. Rebecca and I spoke about the steps leaders of entrepreneurial businesses must take to ensure that they truly hire the right people into the right seats of their emerging organizations. We covered topics such as the job description, hiring as a marketing activity, how to carry out an insightful interview, steps to take between decision time and the new hire's first day, and much, much more. If you missed this episode, you can listen to it on demand here on the Voice America Business Channel, as well as whenever you listen to podcasts, such as on iTunes, Stitcher, Player FM, Pocket Cast, and others. And now, let me introduce my great guest today, Ari Mizell, founder of Less Doing. Ari, you self-describe yourself as an overwhelmologist who helps entrepreneurs to have an opportunity in excess of what infrastructure or their infrastructure can handle to optimize, automate, and outsource everything in their business so they can make themselves replaceable and scale up their business. You are the founder of Less Doing, author of the best-selling book The Art of Less Doing, and its sequel, the forthcoming The Replaceable Founder, coming this September. You are a graduate of a prestigious Wharton School of Business, an Ironman, and a devoted husband to Anna and father of four children, Ben, Sebastian, Lucas, and Chloe. So welcome to Operationally Speaking, Ari.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and thank you for that wonderful intro.
I said it exactly the way you wrote it. almost. So, well, Ari, I usually start these conversations on a lighter note. So I'm going to go straight ahead and ask you, do you have like a favorite business anecdote or maybe even a joke that you can share with our listeners?
I mean, one of them is around, well, I guess an anecdote is, so a big part of my business and a big part of what I do and teach is all around outsourcing. And I have one story where outsourcing produced a 5,000% return on investment.
Absolutely. 5,000. I can take that to the bank every day of the week, even on Saturdays.
So basically, I was before this business, I was a green building consultant for the most part, helping people build better real estate in terms of being healthier for the people occupying them and better for the environment. And there's a standard for this called LEED, which is LEED certification. And I was one of the earlier LEED accredited professionals. And the process of getting a building certified LEED at the time involved something like 700 pages of paperwork. It was very tedious, and it was just a lot of work. And so I did the first few myself, and most architecture firms, most consultants were charging $60,000, $80,000, $100,000 for a project to do that kind of work. And I was 23 years old on my own, and so I was doing it for 20, you know, half of that basically. And it was really working well, but it was a lot of work. So I hired an architect to help me do it, and he was, I think, he was like $150 an hour. And so the projects were still really profitable, and I was having him do a lot of the work. And then after several projects together, he told me that he was going to be going back to school for another degree, and I had to look for alternatives. So I went to Upwork, which was Elance at the time, and I found an architect in Egypt, because LEED is an international standard. So I found an architect in Egypt, and her rate was $2.50 per hour. And she was incredible. So ended up doing several projects with her, and my cost basically was $400 to do a $20,000 project, and I was pretty much hands off. So they were still getting a great deal, and I was definitely getting a great deal. And that was one of my favorite outsourcing experiences ever.
Absolutely. I would say. So one other thing that I'm always really, really curious about and always fascinated by is what makes people be who they are today. So is there like an event or a force or even a person in the early stages of your life that has had the strongest influence on you becoming who you are today?
Well, you know, for good or for bad, right? I think that we can sort of, one of the things is you might say that if you had a different person in your life, right, then you might not end up, you might not be the person you are today, right? Like, so if you had the person that you thought that you wanted, for example, then you might not be the person you are today. So, I mean, I have to, with that sort of preamble to it, I would say that my parents have certainly had the biggest influence that way in terms of my entrepreneurial journey. And my drive to succeed and to push myself would come through them, again, for better or for worse.
Right. Well, you know, parents occupy indeed a very, very important position in everybody's or almost everybody's lives. And I can say that about my parents as well. And sounds like that was the case in your case as well. So tell us a little bit, just in a minute or so, about less doing the practice, the company. So, and more specifically, like what its purpose and what is it that it's best at? And perhaps even where do you see it in, say, 3 years or so?
Okay, so there's a lot of questions there. So let's unpack that.
Sure.
I basically was working in construction when I was 20 years old until I was about 23. And then I got derailed. I got diagnosed with a chronic inflammatory condition called Crohn's disease, which knocked me down from working 18 hours a day to basically being able to do an hour of work in a given day. And through a long process to overcome the illness, one of the major keystone factors in that was I developed a brand new system of productivity, which I would call less doing, as in less doing, more living. Right. And at the time, it was all about personal productivity. How do I make individuals as effective as possible by optimizing, automating, and outsourcing everything in their lives in order to really grow? And that's what I did. And I wrote the first couple of books, and I was teaching, and I was speaking around the world. And in the last 3 years or so, in the last 3 years or so, I've really morphed that into more of a business consulting practice where we can look holistically at the company and how they're doing their communications and their project management and their processes. So ultimately, businesses are able to scale, create systems and processes that replace what the founder does well. And if I really had to boil it down, I want to basically help people get where they're going faster with less pain. And that really crystallizes when I teach people how to be as replaceable as possible. So as you mentioned, the replaceable founder comes out in the fall, and I'm always trying to make people, not just the founder, but everybody, as replaceable as possible without actually replacing them. So we're trying to replace the how, not the what and the why. And what you end up with is a business that is resilient and can be dynamic and change and take advantage of opportunities and grow without being stuck on anyone's desk.
And of course, this is music to my ears because I love this stuff. And that's why you and I decided on this title for our conversation today to be the process for process. So we'll talk about the process of actually creating those kinds of processes. But let's start actually where you start actually in your book, Les Doing. So I have this book, I have it in Kindle format in front of me on my phone, actually. And I was looking at chapter one, and it struck me that even though it's not necessarily a process-oriented chapter, it actually starts where I think everybody should start, whether that's an individual or a business or a leader in a business, which is know thyself. That's the title of your chapter. So my question for you, Ari, is what do you really mean by this? In other words, what should I try to get to know or understand that will actually make a difference in my performance as a business leader?
So I think that it's one of the failings in a lot of people's sort of human psychology. I mean, in every human psychology, honestly, it's not some people. Everybody has this issue where we can sort of just take so much of anything, whether it's real actual pain and or confinement, all the way to too many emails and too many phone calls and too many requirements and too many pills. And we can just take so much before we throw up our hands and either give up or just keep going on autopilot, right? So we can get used to almost anything. And I think that that's the biggest problem for people who have been in a business for a long time or in a particular mode of business for a long time, is it's impossible to read the label from inside the jar. So we have to stop for a second and look at how we're actually doing the things we're doing. And I would argue that most businesses, vast majority of businesses, move so fast, the industries work so quickly and change so quickly, that if you're doing the same things you were doing last year, you're losing. Right. So there's plenty of research to show that we need to offload about 70% of what we do every year after year over year in order to actually grow.
Absolutely. In fact, in my practice with leadership teams of mid-sized entrepreneurial businesses, small to mid-sized entrepreneurial businesses, we have an exercise which I call delegate and elevate, which is basically this whole process. And we'll talk a lot more about delegation in just a second. But is the purpose of all of that stuff is to really be able to elevate yourself in that zone where you are doing the stuff that you are best at and not doing the stuff that you may either are not good at or you shouldn't be doing in the first place. So we are just about to take a break. And when we come back, I want to actually talk a little bit about delegation. So don't go away. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
Would you like to turn your entrepreneurial organization into a well-oiled machine that runs efficiently with less effort and little pain, so your good business becomes great and you can stop putting out today's fires and focus on its future instead? Serge Samel, our host, helps business owners and CEOs get what they want out of their business by working with their leadership team to implement a complete, highly proven suite of tools and processes. This system for operating your business gets everybody 100% on the same page as to where the business is going and how it will get there. Gets everybody more disciplined and more accountable so that everybody becomes a master of execution, gaining momentum towards your vision, and gets everybody to function as part of cohesive, healthy teams. To find out whether this is for you, contact Sergio at os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Again, that's os@getbusinessmomentum.com or directly at 1-617-731-3132.
Tune in to the Soul of Enterprise, Business in the Knowledge Economy, with co-hosts Ron Baker and Ed Kless. Ron and Ed will show you how to recognize that wealth is created by intellectual capital. It's all in the possibilities that we can create and that are created for us. These possibilities are destined to be discovered by human imagination and through the service of others, creating a brighter future for all of us. The Soul of Enterprise is heard live every Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern, on the Voice America Business Channel, and simulcast at the same time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Have you become a member yet? Sign up now to become a member of Voice America. It's always free and easy. Plus, you get to take advantage of some great member benefits. Get unlimited access to millions of hours of on-demand content across all of our channels. Keep track of your favorite episodes, shows, and hosts in your own customizable library. Find out what shows you might be interested in based on your favorites. Plus, you get insider access with our newsletter. Membership gives you more. Sign up at voiceamerica.com and click register at the top right.
Whether the market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now. Toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
This is Operationally Speaking. To reach Sergio Semel, if you have a question or comment about the program, please send an email to os@getbusinessmomentum.com. That's os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Now, back to this week's program.
This is Sergio Semel, your host, and I'm sitting here with Ari Mizell, author of The Art of Less Doing. So, Ari, before the break, we just mentioned the word delegation, okay? And so let's get right into it. So what's the best way or the how of efficient delegation?
Sure. So I think that people have to understand that delegation is really about leadership, and it's not about management. And I think that's an important distinction because
right.
There's, at least in my work, what I see a lot of times as a holdup is a lot of people see delegation as a very binary activity, meaning either I have to give everything away to somebody to do, or I have to do it all myself, and there's no in between.
Yes.
And that brings up trust issues, and you know, and the other thing is that people are very bad at conveying what they actually want, and I am too. I mean, I'm not immune to this, but there's so many funny like psychological studies about that, but somebody might mm-hmm. want a web page to look a certain way and they just don't communicate that. One of my favorite versions of that, just to really drive that point home, is that the average American, if you ask them what kind of coffee they like, they'll tell you that they like a rich, hearty, deep roast of coffee. And the truth is that most, if you really see what most Americans do with their coffee, it's weak, milky with sugar, right?
Exactly.
So like, we're very bad at saying like actually conveying what we want. And then at the same time, when we get back the result that's not what we want, we're very quick to put that on the other person. So,
well, there's this whole attitude of I'll know it when I see it, you know?
Yeah, yes, right. And that's always a good use of people's time. Mm-hmm. So they,
exactly.
So you have to understand that, you know, in my world, at least, there's six levels of delegation, everything from just do what I say all the way down to just get it done. And in the middle, something like, look into this and come back to me with options and I'll decide. And there's sort of varying levels of empowerment. So if you look at a delegation as one, communicating really clearly what you want and conveying what success looks like, but also making it very clear the level of delegation you want to impart on the person you're doing it with. And some are more appropriate for others. I think that's really helpful. We actually have a worksheet for this that we created that lets people lay out the criteria and the resources needed. And again, choosing that level. So whether it's going to be that I want you to just do what I'm telling you, don't think about it, don't come back to me, just get it, just do it the way I'm telling you, as opposed to the other end of the spectrum where you're hiring somebody who's really trusted, they know what they're doing, and you need to back off and not interfere, and they just have to get it done. You know, then there's the levels in between, but there's nuances that people need to understand when they convey that information.
So if I'm a leader in a, let's say a member of a leadership team in a entrepreneurial business, I have, there's this,
productivity consultant, I think his name is Ari, comes to me and tells me that I need to delegate stuff because basically I'm running at 130% capacity here. How do I decide what exactly to delegate?
Great question. So I usually tell people the first place to look is where you are the bottleneck. And that's a hard one for some people. That's not necessarily the first place, the first task to delegate, but it's the first place to look. Because that will usually sort of trickle down. So a great example of that is I talked to a guy in a law firm, and he was telling me that the biggest sort of challenge for them is that his father, who's the senior partner, has to review every document that they send out to clients. It's just that's his requirement. And there's six lawyers that basically have to funnel all their work through this one person. So pretty obviously, that is the bottleneck, right? So where do we, if we look at that as the big problem, so then how do we break that down and start to see where we're going to get the biggest movement of the needle? And what we ended up with there was creating a process around the way that that person did the review. And it was exactly what you said, you know, I know when I'll see it and I can't explain to you why I'm reviewing it this way. It's like, well, that's maybe what you think. That was a very loud motorcycle just went by our office. Sorry. And that may be what you think, but if you actually talk through it and look over someone's shoulder and they just say, well, why do you mark it that way? Why do you do it that way? You actually come up with parameters that you can then start to pull away from them. So in documenting a process, you unearth the opportunities for delegation typically.
I love it. I love it. So here's another follow-on question on that, and then I want to move to the next subtopic here, which is, so what if I currently in my organization have no one to delegate this thing to?
Great, that's fine. You know, you look at something like Elaine Pofeld wrote this book, The $1 Million One-Person Business. There's many, many businesses, at least here in America, that have grown to scale to $1 million in revenue with zero employees, right? And I think that the employee model in a lot of ways is somewhat dying for the organizations. So you can scale infinitely in some ways with contract people on demand, the gig economy, like you can call whatever you want. The easiest way for me to break this down for people is you take a piece of paper, very, very simple exercise. Take a piece of paper, put three circles on it. One circle on the left side is going to be the 3 to 5 things that you are excellent at, that you're the best at in your business, 3 to 5 skills. The middle column is where I like people to say the things that they're competent at but not excellent. And the third column is the things that you're bad at, but you still do them anyway. And we all know we do that. Mm-hmm. And what we inevitably find when you do that exercise is that the third circle, the stuff you're bad at, those are the things that you should just straight up outsource, hire a service, get a, you know, you don't need to have much relationship. They don't need to, beyond that, you just outsource it. The middle column is the team members that you want to have. Right. So in my business, you know, I would say in the middle column, I'm a competent writer. It's got, you know, it's been the basis for a lot of the business and the books and everything, but I'm not excellent and I'm certainly not the fastest. So that's why I have a writer on my team rather than just outsourcing writing.
Right. Makes perfect sense. So let's actually move on to time. So, Ari, what's your approach to time? You know, actually, I've heard you talk about working in sprints, not in marathon. So what does that really mean?
So it's just the way the human brain works, right? Where we know that interruption, well, maybe we don't know that, but there's enough research to show that interruptions to work and breaking things up really helps us to get to the goal. I mean, the easiest way to think about that is that most people, you know, if you're going up the stairs and like a long, long flight of stairs, right, you shouldn't ideally be looking at the top. You should be looking at the next step and the next step and the next step. And eventually you get there, right? And the journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. There's 1,000 proverbs and jokes and anecdotes that have to do with that idea of breaking things down into things that are much more manageable. Because a lot of times, you know, if you take somebody who's a couch potato and you say, you got to run a marathon in a month, it's not going to happen. But if you say, you got to run around the block today, and then the next day you say, you have to run 2 blocks today, you know, and you just work your way towards it, we're going to get there. So you have to break down those large tasks and those large chunks of time into something that we can sort of wrap our heads around.
So practically, how do I institute this I don't know, regimen of sprints? Is there a method to it?
Yeah, so there's any number, right? You could use the Pomodoro technique, which is one of the more common ones, where you're working for 25 minutes of focused work, and then you take a five-minute break. You can play around with that ratio as much as you like for most people, depending on the kind of work you're doing. You can do agile, you know, in Scrum and have two-week sprints, which is not exactly the same thing, but kind of if you're breaking down a really large project. Mm-hmm. But the other thing is just to look at the rhythm of your day and the work that you do, because everybody has a unique sort of, you know, biorhythm or whatever you want to call it. And you may work really well at noon, you know, doing these kinds of calls and these interviews. And that's where like your zone of genius is, where maybe I don't do so well afternoon. Maybe I'm really like in the morning. I do that better. So obviously I want to try to do my best to schedule that work during that time. And that usually tends to like naturally break things up, because most of us don't have 6 hour blocks of time where we're amazing at anything.
Right. Exactly. So how do you do, I mean, practically, how do you go about identifying all that stuff? Is there like an app or something?
So there is a good opportunity for a small plug here. But yeah, we have something called the Less Doing Peak Time app, which is currently available in the Google market, and it should be back on the iOS store because we had to do a big update to it in, I would say, the next week or so. Mm-hmm. And it uses something called the CNS tap test. And I actually hypothesized this correlation, and it turned out to work really well. The CNS tap test is a really good corollary to the health and recovery state of your nervous system. And all you have to do is tap on the screen as fast as you can for 10 seconds. That's literally it. And you do that a few times a day. Mm-hmm. And it will average out and tell you when your peak time is, which is the time that you're 2 to 100 times more effective than any other time of the day. And then we can sort of spider off of that and identify other times when you're creative, when you should work out, when you should eat, when you should sleep. All of those things.
Fascinating.
Can be determined, yeah.
Have you had any independent studies or research done with it to actually prove or substantiate the proof of the accuracy of this?
Not yet. It's all anecdotal evidence. And that mm-hmm. is actually one of the things with this new app I'm hoping to be able to do, is gather that data so that we really can start to create
wonderful
research around it.
Wonderful. So how does this apply? You know, I mean, I was listening to you about talking about these sprints. Let's say if you're applying the Pomodoro technique, or you're dividing your time into, you know, work blocks and so forth, which is something that I personally do. I don't use exactly the 25 minutes. My work blocks are a little longer, 45 minutes actually, and then they have, you know, 15 minute breaks. But it sounds like this is actually a great technique for people who actually do work. So in a sense of, you know, the doers in the organization. What about the people who actually lead or manage groups, such as companies or departments or even teams? How does that apply to them?
And you mean in terms of like the peak time stuff?
Well, both the peak time and also the working in sprints.
Oh, well, so for the peak time aspect, you know, you look at what your peak time is, and actually we find really amazing things when we do this within teams. And there, peak time can be all over the map. We don't tend to see them a lot of times, like sort of out of the work hours and sort of standard work hours, but I certainly have. Like, I've seen people with peak times at 5 in the morning and some with 11 o'clock at night, which is extremely inconvenient, but it is what it is. So most people, it's going to be in that, you know, 8 to 6 window somewhere. It's usually a 90-minute period. Now, an ideal situation, right, you're going to have 10 people that have a peak time that overlaps and everyone is just amazing at that time. It just doesn't happen, obviously. Right. But what is interesting is if you do know what people's peak times are, and you know that, you know, Joe in accounting, his is at 2 o'clock, and you have something you want to ask him at 2:15, maybe you'll wait, you know, until 3:30 and not interrupt that flow. And if we just don't interrupt people during their peak times, we see amazing things.
But that's actually fantastic. So we're going to take another quick break, speaking about peak time. And when we come back, maybe we can finish up this conversation and then go on to talk about the next topic, which is priorities. So don't go away. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
Would you like to turn your entrepreneurial organization into a well-oiled machine that runs efficiently with less effort and little pain so your good business becomes great and you can stop putting out today's fires and focus on its future instead? Serge Samel, our host, helps business owners and CEOs get what they want out of their business by working with their leadership team to implement a complete, highly proven suite of tools and processes. This system for operating your business gets everybody 100% on the same page as to where the business is going and how it will get there. Gets everybody more disciplined and more accountable so that everybody becomes a master of execution, gaining momentum towards your vision, and gets everybody to function as part of cohesive, healthy teams. To find out whether this is for you, contact Sergio at os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Again, that's os@getbusinessmomentum.com or directly at 1-617-731-3132.
How is your work-life balance? In most businesses, no matter where you are positioned, there is always room for improvement. If you're an executive, learn insight about your business. Are you an employee? Learn how to better work with your team. Even if you're not in business, you can learn where your strengths and weaknesses can be played to their best potential. The Work-Life Balance with host Rick Morris can be heard live every Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Whether the market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
This is Operationally Speaking. To reach Sergio Samel, if you have a question or comment about the program, please send an email to os@getbusinessmomentum.com. That's os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Now, back to this week's program.
This is Sergio Samel, your host, and I'm sitting here with Ari Mizell, author of The Art of Less Doing. So, Ari, let's just finish up talking about this, the application of this working in sprints to people who are leaders and managers.
Yeah, I mean, I particularly like this for leaders and managers because I would say that a lot of the times leaders and managers, or it's probably not the same thing, actually. Leaders really have to get out of the way of
right.
their people and not be that bottleneck, right? So working in sprints is great because I think the last thing people want, if they're not in a brainstorming session, is you don't want your quote-unquote leader sitting there for an hour and a half while you're working, right? A five-minute conversation might be the limit of what you can kind of stand. And I don't mean that because, you know, every leader is a jerk, but a lot of times most leaders, and myself included, we move really fast. And that's kind of frustrating for people who actually want to implement and get work done sometimes. So understanding that sometimes the people that work for you need to get you in limited doses as well, as much as they might love you and believe in what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's move on to talking about priorities. So, of course, we all know, and I've struggled with that all day long when I actually work with my clients, is that setting priorities when everything seems important is really tough, especially when that happens in a group setting, but also individually, also for my own practice. So how should we prioritize when everything seems important?
So this goes back to what I was saying before. Start with looking at where you're the biggest bottleneck. And priorities is always a funny thing for me since one of my favorite thought leaders in this space, Greg McKeown, talks about this in his Essentialism book, that the word priority was a singular use word for 400 documented years of its usage until the Industrial Revolution when it suddenly became a plural. And it's right. kind of, you know, counter to what we should be thinking. So the priority, and priorities, of course, can change. But if you look at where you're holding things up the most, you might be really shocked. But that, to me, is a priority. Like, nothing else should matter except where you're stopping business from moving forward. And I have seen businesses fail because the founder wouldn't get out of the way.
Absolutely, absolutely. And especially in the later stages of the business where, you know, the founder or founders used to kind of do everything or have their fingers into everything. And then all of a sudden the business grew. Now they are not, 12 people anymore. They are 114 and they're still doing the same thing, right?
That's right, absolutely.
Absolutely. All right. And speaking about founders and speaking about leaders and managers, and especially on the management side, any thoughts about how do we actually end up or what's the best way to end up managing projects rather than just people? What would be the kind of the best how-to, the best tools that you recommend in managing that aspect or that dimension of any business?
So it's amazing to me how many businesses at various levels have no real project management tools in place, and they work with pen and paper, and they work with Google Docs, and right. they just sort of piece it together because that's what's worked, or really hasn't worked, but that's what sort of pushed them along for such a long time. So my favorite tool across the board is Trello for project mm-hmm. management, and if you have really complex data and lots of it, then I would move on up to something like Airtable, which I also love. But for 95% of the use cases, Trello is amazing. And the big thing with Trello and where people make a mistake with project management in general is we want velocity and movement in our project management. So the reason that Trello works so well for that is that it's set up in what's known as a Kanban style. And that means that you are moving along through phases from left right. to right. And those phases are some form of to do, doing, done. Now, you could have 30 phases, but they follow that arc. Things that are going to be worked on, things that are being worked on, and things that we have worked on. And you mm-hmm. think about it like an assembly line. So that works really well for just human psychology, for giving the leader sort of an overview of what's happening, for people knowing where they're responsible. There's more detail that goes into it, for sure. If you want, I can share that, but that's the kind of idea there.
So what would be the process that you recommend for an organization or a team to implementing a project management tool such as Trello, let's say, specifically?
Yeah, so think about what those phases are. That's the biggest thing. And with Trello, for those who aren't familiar, you can have a board, and a board would be like a project, for example, and a lot mm-hmm. of people get tripped up there as well. So the best way to think about this is if you have a assembly line, a manufacturing plant or whatever that makes potato chips, realistically, that same plant should be able to make the plain potato chips and should be able to make the sea salt potato chips because it's a similar process. Whereas right. you're not going to make ice cream in that factory because it's a different process. So anything that shares a similar, you know, chain of events, those should be grouped together in one board so you get that kind of overview. So if you're doing book launches or writing articles or putting out products, those are going through similar phases and similar, you know, parts of the process. So think about what those phases look like and break those down. And that's usually the best place to start.
Mm-hmm. And which actually leads us to a perfect segue to a kind of a sibling topic, which is the topic of deadlines. Any words of wisdom as to how people should and especially should not set up deadlines?
Yeah, absolutely. So this, first of all, you have to break down the projects appropriately. So you know, if somebody's task is write book, and I've seen that on someone's to-do list a few times.
Right.
There's no point in putting a deadline on that. It's the same thing as like, I'm going to lose 30 pounds by next month. It's the exact same thing as saying I'm going to lose, you know, 2 pounds in 4 days or something, but that's a much more realistic thing for people to think about. So the deadline has to be appropriate to the actual task at hand. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that we need more of them. We need more just deadlines and more restrictions. Entrepreneurs suffer, and I use that word importantly, suffer from too much freedom. We always, you know, if you're a 9-to-5 employee or whatever, you're seeking freedom. You're looking to get freedom to do this thing that we call entrepreneurship. And then once we get to be an entrepreneur, we actually need freedom from something, which is the opposite of the way it should be. It's positive and negative liberty. So too much options, too many choices, too big of a box, our brains don't work very well. We need to limit our choices, limit our options, limit our time. And that's where true innovation comes from. The way I'll sum that up for you is I was always a big fan of MacGyver when I was a kid. And no one ever said to MacGyver, hey, MacGyver, there's a Home Depot across the street. Go get anything you need and go back here and blow up that building. Right? It was always here's a ruler and a rubber band. Now go take down that building. Innovation comes from less, from restriction.
Right. Well, you know, of course, you have that beautiful kind of visual branding that you have, which is the less sign equals the more sign, right? Less is more. And I love that not only because it's, you know, so strikingly clear and simple, but also because it's actually a principle that I keep telling my own clients all the time. And these are leadership teams of, you know, small, medium-sized businesses. And we go, for example, once a quarter through a process of setting up rocks, or what we call rocks, which is basically priorities, 3 to 7 most important priorities or outcomes that must get done within the next 90 or so days. And there's always a struggle for most teams to come down to, you know, a very small number of those. And, you know, it's not unusual that we start a process with, 37 of them to end up with 4. And that is actually a painful process. And that's basically why they hire me to help them through that. But ultimately, it is about less is more. And I've seen it proven over and over that the more of these things they let them be, the less likely they are to actually accomplish them. So let's talk a little bit about the next topic, which is communications. And, you know, you talk a little bit about asynchronous communication. Tell me what's great about asynchronous communication and what are your tips and pieces of advice there?
Asynchronous communication is the crux of what has enabled my business to scale in a lot of ways, because asynchronous communication is the opposite of what we're doing right now, right? It's not like a live conversation. You can send somebody an email at 2 a.m. in the Philippines, and somebody in London can answer that email at 4 p.m, 3 days later, and it's still a conversation that can happen. And
right.
We have text messaging, we have things like Voxer, which is a walkie-talkie app, WhatsApp, all these other things. And the problem for most people is they don't treat them like they're asynchronous. They treat them like they're a synchronous conversation, meaning like I open a line of conversation or communication and then I have to wait there for the response. But what you're really getting in reality is you're getting someone communicating at their best. The other person is receiving it, hopefully, and understanding it at their best, and then consequently responding at their best. And you get these rich conversations, if you treat it that way, that are so much more impactful, so much more to the point, and you can communicate across the globe.
Mm. Well, since we are approaching our next break, I want to actually talk about one more piece of one more piece of advice from you regarding communications. But before this break, I'm going to ask you one quick question, which is, what's the one thing about your practice or your business that nobody other than your clients or customers knows about?
So I have a coaching program called the Less Doing Leaders, which is a group coaching program. It's my highest level program.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as anyone's concerned who's not in the program, I do not offer one-on-one coaching anymore. It's something that I did for a long time, and it's not really scalable, and I don't publicly offer one-on-one coaching. But in the Less Doing Leaders program, they get unlimited Voxer access to me, and it is one-to-one. So in actuality, I end up working really deeply with some incredible individuals on a very one-on-one basis that is actually scalable.
Love it. So we'll take a break right now, and when we come back, we'll finish up the conversation on communications and maybe explore a couple of other little topics, and then we'll wrap up. So don't go away. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
We're always talking business.
Talk to an expert.
Call now. Toll free. 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Would you like to turn your entrepreneurial organization into a well-oiled machine that runs efficiently with less effort and little pain, so your good business becomes great and you can stop putting out today's fires and focus on its future instead? Serju Samel, our host, helps business owners and CEOs get what they want out of their business by working with their leadership team to implement a complete, highly proven suite of tools and processes. This system for operating your business gets everybody 100% on the same page as to where the business is going and how it will get there. Gets everybody more disciplined and more accountable so that everybody becomes a master of execution, gaining momentum towards your vision, and gets everybody to function as part of cohesive, healthy teams. To find out whether this is for you, contact Sergio at os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Again, that's os@getbusinessmomentum.com or directly at 1-617-731-3132.
Higher education faces lots of changes. If you are a student, educator, or in the workforce, you'll want to tune into Big Beacon Radio, Transforming Higher Education. Your host, Dave Goldberg, and his guests will explore the innovations that higher education adopts as it reinvents itself. The world of higher education is constantly changing. Stay on top and stay ahead of the rest. Big Beacon Radio, Transforming Higher Education. Listen Mondays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Business Channel.
Have you had a chance to check out Voice America's online magazine and blog, Press Pass? If you love our hosts and shows, check out articles that give an even deeper perspective. Plus topics about health and fitness, movie reviews, philosophy, business tips and tactics, spirituality, positive thought, current events, and even more about your favorite host. It's just a click away at vapresspass.com. That's vapresspass.com. VA Press Pass by Voice America. All access, all the time.
We're always talking business.
Talk to an expert.
Call now. Toll free. 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
This is Operationally Speaking. To reach Serju Samel, if you have a question or comment about the program, please send an email to os@getbusinessmomentum.com. That's os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Now, back to this week's program.
This is Serju Samel, your host, and I'm sitting here with Ari Mizell, author of The Art of Less Doing. So, Ari, about communications, of course, the one form of communication that everybody's engaged in, especially professionals and people in business, and everybody's complaining about all the time is email. What do you have to say about that?
I don't know anything about email. No, it's actually the number one productivity challenge that people state all over the world. If you ask them what is their biggest productivity challenge, is email. And it's one of those situations, and we have many of these in life, where we get access to something without any instruction, right?
Exactly.
Email, it's free, anyone can use it, right? But nobody ever teaches us how. And the bigger problem is that the email problem is not an email problem. It is a decision-making problem, because it's an unnatural situation where you're able to make thousands of decisions, really, in a given day. And it's overwhelming. And the other thing is, there was this great Harvard Business School research study that showed that that email is disproportionately stressful to how much time we actually spend on it. And a lot of that is just because it's so nebulous. There's nothing physical that we can sort of, you know, connect with. So with email, this goes back to what I was saying before, you have to set limits. The best way to deal with email is to decide there's only three ways to handle an email. You can either delete it, you can deal with it right now, or you can defer it to a time that makes more sense for you to deal with it. And that's it. And so you apply this, though, with decisions in general to our lives. And we can say, all right, deleting is saying no or declining. Dealing with it right now could be delegating it. That means that if I give it to somebody who's competent that I know is going to get it done, then in that moment, I am done. There's nothing else I can do. And if you deal with something right now, you'll feel good about it. It's motivating. And everyone who's ever said to themselves, like, oh, I'll get to it later. It'll just take me a minute. There's a big difference between how long it takes to do something versus how long it takes to get it done. Because if you say it's going to take you a minute, but you don't get to it for a week, how long did it really take you?
A week.
Yeah, that's right. And then the third one is defer. So if I can't do it now and I can't say no and I have to get it done, I'm not going to snooze it because that's an emotional version of hiding. I'm going to say there is a better time and place for me to handle this thing. And that time is Friday at 10 a.m. when I'm at this coffee shop where I do my best writing, for example. You know, and you defer it, and there's several different tools that you can use to do that. But those are your three options. That's it.
That sounds a good paradigm to implement, simple enough. So before I actually ask you the last substantive question, let me ask you a quick one. So, Ari, if anybody made a movie about your life, what would that be called?
The Replaceable Founder.
Ah, how did you know that I was going to actually ask you about replaceability? Perfect. So I know that you're going to tell us everything about making yourself replaceable in your upcoming book. But as a preview, let's start with the why. So what's up with that? I mean, why is it so important to make oneself replaceable as a founder or even as an executive or a leader in a business?
Because if you're not replaceable, you're a liability. And one of the things that we talk about, one of the metrics that I created for our clients is something we call days to departure. And what that means is if you were to go on vacation as the founder, how many days notice right now would you have to give your team? The answer for my business is zero. So right. I could send a quick Slack message and say, I'm going away for a week. Talk to you guys then. And it would not change anything. I wouldn't have to tell them anything, prepare anything, forward an email, put an autoresponder, anything. Now, if that number for you is more than five, then there's something you need to look at. The other way of looking at that is if an employee were to leave, how much notice would you want them to give you? And the third way, which is the most impactful because every founder is guilty of this too, is if a employee were to leave today, how many days would you have to take over their role for?
Exactly. You know, that always reminds me of a line, and I'm kind of paraphrasing a line from Les Brown, who I think said something along the lines of, you know, it's okay to carry on your life in imbalance as long as two conditions are met. One, you know exactly for how long, and two, you know exactly why.
Yeah.
Interesting. So I'd like to offer you the opportunity to give our listeners a gift via two quick recommendations: a book that you found particularly impactful on you, and an app that you found particularly useful. What would that be?
So the most impactful book in my life has been Emergency by Neil Strauss, by far, which is really about a journey of sort of self-improvement and changing and being adaptable and stuff. And it was hugely impactful in my life, and I always recommend it. It's my favorite book ever.
And what's the biggest takeaway from there?
That you have to be self-sufficient in everything we do. And if we had depended on people, not because people will let you down or anything, and we certainly should depend on people, it's part of human nature, but you need to be as self-sufficient as possible and be able to do things yourself that we just, it's lost on a lot of people nowadays.
Okay. And an app?
Voxer. Voxer's changed my life. Really has. It changed my life and my business. It's how I communicate with my team and with my clients. I've literally created a business around communicating through Voxer.
So tell us in 20 seconds, what's Voxer all about?
So Voxer is basically like a walkie-talkie app I think a lot of people are familiar with WhatsApp and things like that. The right. difference with Voxer is, one, it sends the message immediately as you're talking. So if you start talking, within 3 seconds, the person on the other end can start listening. So that's really cool because it's just much faster. You can also speed it up. So I can listen to somebody at 2, 3, 4 times speed.
Good.
And I'm also able to do a broadcast message. So I can do a message to my entire group coaching program, but then they can't respond, so they don't clog each other's inboxes up. So I can do this sort of like announcement thing with them. And this works. I can do it in the car. I can listen in the car. I can forward messages. It's perfect.
Perfect. Thank you. So if people want to reach out to you about performance or about, less doing or about anything else, what's the best way?
You just said it, lessdoing.com. Everything is there. The books, the podcast, the blog, the programs. There's a live chat on the website. You can pop that open and ask a question. And me or someone on my team will answer you.
Wonderful. I like the simplicity. So thank you so much, Ari, for being my guest here. And thank you, our listeners, for spending this precious hour with us. Did you hear anything today that was useful to you? Anything new? Anything that maybe reinforced something that you already knew or suspected? Let us know by writing to us at host@operationallyspeaking.com. And don't forget to point your business friends and your colleagues to Operationally Speaking. And of course, share your thoughts about today's episode on your favorite social media. To find out how we can turn your organization into a well-oiled execution machine so that you can break through any limiting ceilings, align the right people in the right seats, and skyrocket your business value, just give us a call at 617-731-3132 or email us at os@getbusinessmomentum.com. And I promise you'll never regret that call. Ever. So see you again next Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern or 12 noon Pacific. And until then, make it an operationally sound and a joyous, highly performing week. Goodbye.
Thank you for tuning in to Operationally Speaking. Be sure to join your host, Sergio Semel, for another great program 1 week from today. We're live every Friday at 12 noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Business Channel. In the meantime, you can reach Sergio for additional questions at 1-617-731-3132 or by email at os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Again, that is os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Enjoy your upcoming weekend, and may you and your business make it a smooth and successful week.